This episode's guest is Kira Josephson. She spoke about her translated work, The Details, which is longlisted for the International Booker Prize 2024. During the discussion, we are also joined by Anant Dakshinamurthy. Anant is a Fulbright scholar who is graduating with a master's in publishing from New York University, and The Details is his first acquisition for publication. The Details was originally published in Swedish. E.A. Jienberg is the author. Kira Josephson is a writer, editor, and translator between Swedish and English. Her work has been longlisted for the International Booker Prize and shortlisted for the Bernard Shaw Prize. She lives in Queens, New York, and writes on US events and politics in the Swedish press. To buy the novel, The Details, you can use the link given in the show notes. You can also give your valuable feedback on this episode via the Spotify app. Welcome to Harshneem, Kira. Nice to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, Sweden, Finland, France, Canada, and the USA. You lived in all these countries. And how did it shape your instincts as a translator?
I think I was definitely drawn to translation partly because of my experience living between different languages. I grew up in Sweden. My mom is Finnish, and so there was a lot of languages already there in my family. A lot of people in her family had family members that they were married to who were from elsewhere, so there were a lot of languages spoken. And I moved to Finland after high school as a way of exploring those roots. I don't speak Finnish. I did when I was little, but I have a little bit of, I understand a couple of words, but I don't know it fluently at all. Later on, I moved to France, to Paris, because I loved French. I had studied it in school, and I was really curious about learning that language better. And then I ended up moving to Montreal for college, partly in a bid to continue speaking French. But what really happened was that my English got much better, or actually fluent, I guess I should say. I spoke English before then, but that's how I became fluent in English. And then lastly, I moved to the United States, to New York, where I live now, because of the person that I was dating at the time who was from here. And also because a lot of my friends from college had moved to New York after graduation. And I would say definitely that all these moves were at least in part motivated by an interest in languages and that excitement of inhabiting a new linguistic world that happens when you move somewhere. Yeah, so I would say that it's definitely shaped that decision and sort of showed me that it is possible to live in between languages in the way that you do as a translator.
Now, which is your first published translation, full length?
My first published full-length translation is a novel called The Trio by Johanna Hedman that came out in 2022 in the UK and then 2023 in the US with Europa editions. And it's about three friends and lovers and their sort of relationships to each other and their coming of age through each other. It's a really beautiful, dreamy novel that is set in both, it's in Berlin, in New York, in Stockholm, and also thinks a lot about language and what it means to your identity to move between different places. And this was given to me by Johanna's agency, and I really loved it immediately when I first started working on it. So that ended up being picked up by these English language publishers, and that became my first published translation.
You're a writer too. Which is the first published work?
I have not published any novels or books in writing. My first published piece, I think, was probably when I was 19 for a magazine in Sweden that I used to work with, where I went to see a medium, like a spiritual medium, who was trying to get in touch with this Swedish author named Selma Lagerlöf, one of the Swedish greats. And it was a kind of chronicle of that experience.
Tell us a bit about your role as editor too.
I worked as an editor before I truly worked as a writer or a translator. I was working in editorial at that same magazine that published this Medium story. And I was first an intern and then became an editor. And then I worked at another magazine called Bonn Magazine, which is a bilingual Swedish and English publication. I worked there while I was studying in Montreal. I would go back during the summers and work there. And then afterwards, I spent a year working there full time. And I think my experience editing as a first formal way of working with text, my sort of university training is in political science, political theory, and cultural studies. So I don't have formal training in writing or translating or editing. But working as an editor really was an excellent lesson in what makes a text hold together, how much you can stretch the language in a text or not, and in writing in general. And so that was my introduction to writing, I would say, and later to some extent also to translation, because I, at Bonn Magazine, this bilingual magazine that I worked at, we published things in both Swedish and in English. And I sometimes translated those pieces, and that was the first time that I got to use these two languages that I was increasingly living in side by side for publication or for sort of a written purpose in that way. It was the first time that I could do that, go between in a way that was not just in my own daily life, if that makes sense.
As far as your mental framework is concerned, while you are writing, editing, and translating, how similar are these activities?
I think they're definitely similar in many ways, not least, of course, in that you're working with text, right? And I think it's different perspectives on a text in editing. You think more about structure and about what makes a piece hold together, which is nothing that you have to worry about in translating, because then someone else has already done that work. In writing, of course, that is also something that you have to think about, usually in collaboration with an editor, if you're lucky at least. In translating, you don't have to have the fear of the empty page that sometimes comes with writing. So I find that those two activities complement each other very well. And then writing is a way of letting your mind and imagination run free in a way that doesn't happen in the same way for when you're translating or working as an editor. Although all those three activities do involve a lot of thinking and dreaming and imagining, I would say.
Before we get on to the novel, the details, please tell us about the author. She was a journalist to begin with, right? And started writing fiction at the age of 45.
Yeah, I think she was 45 at least. She, as you said, began her writing career as a journalist. She then retrained to become a nurse, to work in the medical field, to be able to spend more time writing fiction. I think a lot of people who are involved in something that's creative, but maybe not creative in the way that you actually want it to be. Like, obviously, journalism is a very demanding job and it draws on those same writing muscles, but I can imagine that it's pretty difficult to get home and start writing novels in the evening when you've already spent so many of your words doing other kinds of word work. So she retrained to be able to write, and she debuted as an author in 2012 with the novel Sweet Friday, and then she's written a novel called Belated Farewell, a short story collection called Small Comfort, and four other tales about money. And then The Details in 2022. The Details is the only one of her novels that's been published in English, that's been translated. But the other ones have also gotten a lot of critical acclaim, and perhaps we will get to see more of her in English as well now after people are reading The Details and often loving it.
How did you get this book in your hand to translate?
I work a lot with agencies. The Swedish literary world has a pretty solid agency system. And so a lot of translators work with agencies who commission a lot of translators into English, I should say, work with agencies who commission a sample, sometimes the entire novel. And so you translate that for them, and then they go out and sell that sample, that book, to foreign publishers. And so that English sample is often used for to sell into other languages as well. And this was the case with The Details. I started working on it. It was sent to me by ES agent. I was asked if I wanted to translate it, and I said yes, but without knowing much about it. And then no more than 10 pages in, I was stunned. I thought it was incredible. And I was so excited, and I really hoped. I think I wrote to the agent and I was like, oh, if there's anything I can do to help. And she can do her job perfectly without my help. But I was just so enamored with this book. And so I really wanted it to sell. And so I actually translated, they asked me to translate the entire book. It's a short novel. And then it's sold, I think, into 32 languages or something like that. Yeah, it's very exciting, and it's been really exciting to see it make its way out to the world.
Now, what kind of interaction you had with her while translating, or your co-translators for that matter? Co-translators in the sense translators who are working on other languages.
Not a ton. I translated this book very quickly, and again, before it had been published in Swedish. I tend to work alone for the first several drafts, and then towards the end, when I start to feel that I have a sense of the language, a sense of what I want it to look like in English, that's when I ask the author if I have any questions. There were a couple of things that I wanted her to tell me about, and we emailed a little bit about that. But then that fall, I went to a big book fair in Gothenburg in Sweden, which is the main literary event of the year in Sweden. And I write about this in the translator's note as well for the book. And I was part of a fellowship with, I think, maybe 10, 12 other translators, as well as a group of publishers. And it turned out that there were four of us who were translating The Details to four different languages. And we talked together, but there wasn't a ton of consultation. I think often the questions you have for the author can sometimes depend on the language that you're translating into. For example, if you're translating into a language that is highly gendered, you will often need to know if she's referring to just a person, you might need to know if that person is a man or a woman or whatever the case may be, so that you can make the language fit that gender of the person. But in English, you don't really have any questions like that. When we were at the book fair, she was there as well, because by this time the book had been published in Swedish and it was already a big sensation. And so she was at a lot of the different talks and events. The four of us went to find her and ended up introducing ourselves. And she was really surprised and happy to see us in this very kind way. And I did have a question then about the machine that is used to brew what one of the characters called, or the narrator and her friend, they call it piss wine. The way that contraption is described, I hadn't been able to find a picture that matched that description, and so I was uncertain how to describe some of those relationships in English to the different parts. And she ended up finding a picture of that exact machine, and then I took a picture of her phone showing that. But there wasn't a ton of interaction. We have met a couple of times since. I tend to go to Sweden at least once a year, and I've had lunch with her Swedish editor, and then she came along as well, which was really wonderful.
Now, please introduce the novel, The Details, especially the theme and characters.
Yes. So The Details is a person, it's a portrait of a person who is refracted through four different people who've been close to her. And they're all people that she's lost for one reason or another. There is Johanna, who is her first sort of big relationship or girlfriend. There is Nikki, who's a very close and very explosive friend. One of these people who are extremely charismatic, but quite difficult to be around for a long period of time. There's Alejandro, who is a lover who appears sort of like a storm right when she needs it. Someone who really sweeps her off her feet with the chemistry that they have. And then there is Birgitta. I won't speak that much of, because I think that the discovery of who she is important to the reading of the novel. This is not a novel where spoilers would be a thing, really. Other than that, perhaps it's a very quiet book. It's a small book in certain ways, but it also has this enormous sense of grace and generosity. It's really funny and sometimes biting, but it's so generous. Really, that it's suffused with a sense of grace is the best way that I can think of describing it. The book has immense openness to the now, to the present. And I wrote in my translator's note that if there is a sort of thesis to this book, it's really that all we have is that now. And Ia's writing looks really closely at that moment, so that every moment becomes dense with meaning and ends up unfolding both backwards and forward in time, and in that way showing how we are made into the people that we are.
There were a lot of references to English and Swedish novels. Then more importantly, the quality of prose is what takes the reader further. It's not a strict plotted structure or anything. Some sentences, actually, which you rendered, are really beautiful. There is one particular, I think this is in the first chapter, right? To read with feverish lottery, the contents of the text will either dissolve or penetrate deep into the cracks accidentally opened by out-of-control temperature. Like this, there are many, many, you know, sentences which are really beautiful. How challenging was this to, translate? It's very subtle, right? The sentences are very subtle, very, very nicely structured. These are really important to hook the reader into the story.
Thank you so much for those kind words. That's really wonderful to hear. That quality is definitely a big part of what makes the novel so special in Swedish. And it was one of my main focuses in the translation, was rendering that in English as well, in a way that felt as layered and also propulsive. As you say, there is this kind of constant doubling back. Ia wrote this novel, every time she sat down, she started over and rewrote what she had written before, a very laborious process where her rule was that she would find every sort of strand or thread she would follow to its very end. And that means that there are a lot of very long sentences that are pursuing these different details as far as they can go. That style is integral to the novel itself, and so it felt really important to retain that. However, English is famously fond of short, efficient sentences, brief and concise, although of course that there are a lot of important English language writers who don't follow that precept, but there is a different relationship to the sentence. And so finding dress for these sentences that made sense, that would make them as beautiful, or that could try to make them as beautiful and as propulsive and multi-layered in the English, but without messing too much with the rules of English in a way that would make it too jarring. Because it's not that I don't think that translations can be jarring, but there is nothing jarring in the Swedish. It's just very beautifully, smoothly written. And so I ended up doing a lot with punctuation, semicolons, commas, em dashes, that there aren't necessarily that many of those in the Swedish. Sometimes I also ended up breaking up certain sentences, but sitting with that and figuring out how the rhythm of a sentence could work in the English was a big, big one. I do think, however, that because the book is so well written, that's the reason that it was possible to do it. As a translator, you're so close to the bones of the language that you really notice when the seams don't really hold. And you really notice when they do hold, because when something is really beautifully and tightly written, you can really push a lot on the language and it still holds. Whereas sometimes you work on something and at a first read, it sounds great, but then you start messing around in there, as you always have to do as a translator, and then it falls apart. But there's nothing about this book that, there's nothing about Ia's writing that ever did that. It just really gave itself up really beautifully to translation because it is so tightly, so thoughtfully written.
Before I ask you to read an excerpt, there is a little surprise for you. A friend of yours wants to ask a question.
Wow, wonderful.
Hi.
Oh my God. Wow, wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good to see you. And I was just in the back room listening to the whole conversation. It was, again, good to, go back to some of the things that we also spoke about in our last conversation. So, yeah, it's been wonderful to see you and to hear from you. I mean, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say hi.
Well, can I have a question for you if you don't have a question for me?
Sure. Go ahead.
So you are obviously a future Booker Prize long-listed publisher now. What was it that drew you to this novel when you decided to make it your first acquisition?
I'm in the NYU publishing program. I'm graduating. The first, class or the subject I had in my first semester, it's Intro to Book Publishing, and by your editor, Tara Parsons, who published the details in the US. So we worked on that book before even it got published in the US. So it was one of our assignments. The whole class, we worked on that book, starting from, why would you acquire this book, acquisition, writing an acquisition memo, to doing a whole full-length marketing plan, doing a cover design, etc. There were different manuscripts that Tara gave us. This was a only translated book out of other books that we were given. And me and a few French students, we took this book. And it also now published in French, so I'm very happy. I started reading it. It was my first book, Swedish Literature in English in Translation. I was so into the book after a few pages. And it was a very short book, as you said. It felt very close, relatable, nostalgic also, but also it did not cherish, it did not romanticize things, but it said as it is. It was very pragmatic about falling out with people, etc. So, and I wrote particularly in my acquisition memo for the assignment, I wrote, this will be listed for some of the prestigious awards. And it has come true, so I'm really happy that this happened. And this was fall 2022, even before it was published in English. And around 23 September, it came in English. I acquired this book. That is another separate story. But anyway, I'm very glad that my first book is this book. And thank you for every other support in making this happen.
It's such an exciting thing.
See, if you would be comfortable talking about, I've been seeing, at least in small groups where you and I are part of, we talk about PEN and its stance on, Gaza war, the recent pulling out of authors from its World Voices, PEN Voices Festival.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to say about it, for sure. I have been very disappointed to see an organization whose mission it is to protect free speech and human rights be so slow to even call for a ceasefire, which is the bare minimum, truly the floor of what we should be asking for in this situation. I'm really happy that a lot of writers and translators have stepped up to demand more and to demand better. But the disappointment and the breach of trust is something that I think will be haunting an organization like this for a very long time forward, unless they take significant steps to probably reshuffle in their leadership and to make some really serious commitments beyond calling for ceasefire to protect Palestinian writers and authors, to put pressure on the U.S. government, which is supporting this genocide. All things that they could do as a really big and influential organization. I feel lucky to live in New York, where there is a lot of protest. There are a lot of protests on the street. There is a lot of direct action. Unfortunately, we're not seeing our politicians really listening to that, which is incredibly disheartening. But I do think that it is really important to register dissent as the bare minimum of what we can do, so that people can't say in 10 years from now that they didn't know. This is the most live streamed, the most documented genocide ever. And so not saying anything is unbearable, unacceptable. It's felt really important to me to be out protesting because I have the ability to do that. It's felt really important to support in other ways, including supporting the organizers that I do know who are doing more frontline stuff.
Thank you. Okay, that's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful surprise.
Before we end the conversation, please read an excerpt from the book.
This excerpt is from the Alejandro chapter. I mentioned that he is a lover who enters the narrator's life sort of out of nowhere and immediately sweeps her away. It's really hard to choose just one part to read. There's, again, both humor and sadness, grace and generosity, and yeah, it's hard to pick just one part, but I decided on this one because I think it exemplifies some of the intensity that this book holds in its pages as well. This begins on page 91, after they've first met the first time. So that's Saturday then. It was in Vaxholm at a venue with a winterized veranda that looked onto the quay. Zombie Woof was the second of four bands and stepped off the stage right before 9, after which he wove his way to my table by the window. I was solo, sober, alert, as if the rest of my life hinged on these moments. I tried to achieve a state of wakefulness that was more than awake, a sort of absolute tension, senses wide open. I felt void of history, as if I came from nowhere, as if the 20th century had not happened in me for 30 years already and was now coming to an end. And when we stood up a couple of hours later, we had not touched more than this. His index finger had at one point caressed the back of my hand. A few millimeters of skin touching for no more than a fraction of a second. But today, more than 20 years later, I can still recall the way it reverberated. How my blood no longer fit in my veins, the way my life no longer fit in me, the way it spilled over and stuck to everything else, already in the cab home and then at his apartment, several hours, a one-bedroom in Önsbergi with a narrow bed in a corner where our laughter ceased and was replaced by a gravity so demanding that it scared me, because it was no longer about pleasure, but about something more fundamental, a room in me where everything was spacious and available. My childhood, my people, the connections between everything. Desire seemed like desire until I disappeared inside of it and stayed in there. It made a different kind of desire appear, an agreement about temporary magic when places in us that could not touch did touch. To be permitted authenticity in the midst of this act with not a single thought in my head, without imitation. To be permitted to wreck my life in peace once more. I was so close to myself in situations like this, right at the edge, but to find him there, in my own flesh, the fact that I was an introvert and still found him there, as if we'd always waited for each other, and the sweat and the flame that became ours so fast.
Thank you for this wonderful conversation and your time. And I wish you all the best for the competition.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me and for having me. This is really wonderful.